Good evening, everybody. This is Jeremy Benamy, president of J Street, and welcome to the second J Street Teletown Hall to review results of the national elections. This is a call that will review the results from election night 2012 for J Street PAC and go over the polling that was conducted on behalf of J Street by our pollster Jim Gerstein, who will be joining us on the call in a little bit. We're also going to be joined on the call by Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. I think many of you are aware that Tammy Baldwin was in one of the most competitive races that was run this year in the Senate, and she emerged victorious, as did six other J Street endorsed candidates for the U.S. Senate. Our PAC in 2012 actually had an incredibly good year, and I think that many of the people on this call are probably well aware. We've been touting our accomplishments to our supporters and donors over the last 24-48 hours because we are incredibly proud here at J Street about the success of J Street PAC in the 2012 cycle. J Street, as you know, was established about 4 years ago to change the political dynamics around Israel, specifically to try to demonstrate tangibly and visibly that there is indeed political support available for pro-Israel, pro-peace candidates for the House and Senate, and to give a push and to create the space for the President of the United States to be able to move forward assertively and aggressively to try to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Our political strategy encompasses our PAC, which endorses federal candidates for House and Senate and raises money for them, and it also incorporates doing national polling of Jewish Americans to help to make the case that Jewish Americans are indeed a liberal base constituency for the Democratic Party, that they are not one issue, single issue Israel voters, that they are not uniformly hawkish when it comes to Israel, and to demonstrate that candidates do, in fact, have the space to take positions that are sensible, reasonable, moderate, that allow the United States to play the role it needs to lead the way toward the two-state solution. So the polling and the work of the PAC are really two sides of the coin of J Street's political strategy to demonstrate that the space does exist for American leadership and for a different direction in American foreign policy, and then also to tangibly support candidates who adopt those positions. So this evening, on our second teletown hall for our national membership, we are very excited that we already have over 1,000 people on the call. I expect we'll probably have well over 2,000 on the call. We're going to be joined this evening by Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. We will be joined by Jim Gerstein, our pollster, and Tammy will be giving us a few remarks about her race and about the impact of our work and these issues in the Wisconsin Senate race. Jim Gerstein will be giving us an update on polling, and at any time that you're interested in asking a question, please press 9. Sometimes on our conference calls, there's a different number, and I know every system has different numbers, so please be aware that in order to ask a question, you have to press 9 on this particular call. So I'll just take a couple of minutes and review the success and the track record of J Street PAC, and then I know that within a few minutes we will be joined by Senator-elect Baldwin, and then we'll go to Jim Gerstein for the poll results. J Street PAC in the 2012 cycle endorsed 71 candidates for the Senate and the House, 7 for the Senate and 64 for the House. Of those 71 candidates, 69 have so far been declared officially as the winners of their races. One candidate is still in an undeclared race, though leading. I'm sure there will be a recount. It's Ami Bera, who's running for Congress in the Sacramento area in California, and his race, I think there are currently about 200 votes separating him from Congressman Dan Lundgren, who is the incumbent, and that race is going to go to a recount and undoubtedly to costly legal battles. So our record in 2012 was 70 wins and 1 loss, which is an incredibly positive records. We are now in a situation where we have 50% more J Street endorsed members of Congress than we had in the previous Congress. And we, in that cycle, were 50% more than the prior Congress. So we're feeling very good about the growing presence and strength of J Street in American politics at the national level. In addition to the endorsements, we raised about $1.8 million for those candidates, and we distributed it out according to some of the, with a real focus on the more competitive races. So, for instance, for Tammy Baldwin, we raised over $150,000. For Tim Kaine, roughly about that much. We raised more than $100,000 for Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, and for Martin Heinrich, who's the newly elected senator from New Mexico. In addition, we have Maria Cantwell, Sheldon Whitehouse, and perhaps most importantly for us, Dianne Feinstein, who is now reelected to another term in California. Just as a reminder, I want to let people know that if you have questions, please press the number 9 on your phone. I understand some people have been pressing 1, and so we'll take questions from folks who are pressing 9. in addition to the Senate candidates, where we went 7-for-7, in the House, we had 64 candidates. 49 of them were incumbents, and all 49 of our incumbents were reelected, some of them in very competitive races. A good friend of ours, Lois Capps, in Santa Barbara, was reelected by about 4 or 5 points and had a very tough race, and we were pleased to raise about $90,000 for her. In addition to the incumbents, we also endorsed 15 candidates who were either challengers to incumbents or were running for open seats. And the highlights for us in those races were our defeats of 2 members of what we call the One State Caucus, people who in the House of Representatives have endorsed the annexation of Judea and Samaria of the West Bank. They include Joe Walsh, who was sort of the ringleader of that crowd, as well as Alan West in southern Florida. And those two were beaten by J Street-backed candidates for whom we raised a great deal of money. We ran ads. We sent mail. We had volunteers on the ground doing work. So very, very extensive efforts that we put to ensure that some of the worst members of Congress would get the message that they cannot find political support running in the Jewish community on these extreme positions. So we're very proud of the track record of the J Street PAC in the 2012 election cycle, and it, as I said, is part and parcel of our polling and other political work that we're going to be reviewing on our Teletown Hall this evening. So it is about 8:35, and we have well over 1,300 people on the phone with us already. We are calling through our list, and so it's taking a little bit of time to just make sure we reach everybody and give them the opportunity to join us. And so I'll just be talking for a couple more minutes. You may have noticed, for those of you who've been on since the beginning, that I sound a little bit like I'm filibustering. But, Jillian, are we able to take questions at this point, or should we hold them until the guests are joining us?
No, we can take a question now if we want to. I know we have a long line of people who have asked to take a question. Why don't we start with our first one, which is Daniel Davis in Santa Maria, California. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hello. Yes. Well, as you guys asked the question, what would you like me to do? Want me to ask the question again?
That would be terrific, since you're now live on our conference call, and it would be great to hear your question.
Yeah, my question is, I think that J Street makes a mistake in concentrating so much on the United States opinion and attitudes rather than concentrating on Israel, perhaps getting rid of Netanyahu and mobilizing the Israeli people, because I think that's where the emphasis should be.
Well, thank you very much for your statement. We're certainly happy to take statements and questions this evening. I'll just say one thing very quickly about the purpose of J Street, which I think people on the phone probably are aware. We started J Street about 4 years ago to change the dynamics of American politics. Our view was that here in the United States, the voice of the American Jewish community had been essentially hijacked by a group of folks who don't speak for the rest of the community. And that was impacting not only American politics, but really American policy, and was limiting the freedom of movement for the President of the United States, for elected officials, and also, I would say, in the American Jewish community itself, that the debate over Israel is a little bit too narrow and constrained, and that our voices and our views weren't being heard. So we have created J Street specifically to work in the United States, to try to impact the way Israel plays out in the political system, to try to impact how Israel plays out as an issue in the Jewish community. There's plenty of work that needs to happen in Israel, and we have a lot of really good friends over there who are involved in the political process in Israel, and you know, I think we'll probably be leaving that difficult task to the folks who live and vote there, and we'll try to clean up our act here and make sure that the 70% to 80% of Jewish Americans who support our two-state agenda and who want the president to lead the way towards peace, that those 70% to 80% have a political voice in this country. So thank you for the question, and let me just check whether or not Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin has joined us on the phone. So not hearing that, Jillian, do you want to take another question?
Absolutely. So we have another question from Joel Block in Los Alamitos, California. So Joel, if you would like to ask your question again, you're now live.
Hi, Jeremy. My question is, how do we act differently after the success of the 2012 election from what we did or didn't do after the success of the 2008 election, so that we can avoid another 2010?
Well, I think the main difference for us is that in 2008, as an organization, we were brand spanking new. We were much, much smaller. You know, our PAC, I think, distributed about $500,000 in 2008. We had a nice little roster of some House candidates who won, but we really didn't have an established lobby. We didn't have the grassroots network. We didn't have a 110-person finance committee with, you know, deep connections to the candidates who are running. I think we as an organization are in a different place to try to provide both additional support for the president should he choose to go in this direction, but also, frankly, to press the White House and press Congress to press the president. And we're in a different place than we were 4 years ago as an organization, and we continue to build, we continue to grow, but I think we'll be able to do a lot more in these early months of a second term than we were in a position to do in the beginning of 2009. When we started J Street, I talked about us acting as a blocking back to try to get out in front of the president, create space, particularly in Congress, so that he could, you know, carry the ball through and score on our issue. That was the metaphor that we like to use. And we soon realized that we were creating that hole, but there was nobody running through it. So, you know, we changed our mindset and our metaphor, and we now realize that we're going to have to get behind the president and push him, and we're going to have to push people to do the right thing on this issue. And that's going to be a very different strategic approach this time around as well. So thanks, Joel, for the question. It's good to hear from you, and it's great to see that we, you know, have well over 1,300 people. I don't know what the number is right now, Jillian, but we've got a very nice turnout for this call. We're waiting to see if Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin has joined us.
Looks like she's not quite on, but we have time for another call, and this one's also coming from California, and this is Anna Rogers from San Rafael, California. So, Anna, if you want to ask your question again, go ahead.
Yes, hi. My question is, what is J Street's position going to be on the upcoming UN bid this time? And secondly, this meant pressure on Obama, pressure on the congressional people, you know, toward a two-state solution, but I'm wondering what sort of pressure on the Netanyahu government were willing to propose to both the President and to Congress.
Thanks so much for the question. In terms of the UN, I understand that the Palestinians are in the process of drafting the resolution that they intend to introduce at the General Assembly. We certainly want to take a close look at what that says. When we, as an organization, went through a very lengthy process of listening to our constituents and talking to a wide range of advisors of the organization to decide what to do when the Palestinians applied for membership in the United Nations, and we decided to oppose that bid at the time and to back the administration's veto. This time around, it's a different issue. It is not for membership in the United Nations. It is for non-member state observer status. It doesn't have the same significance. There is a vote at the General Assembly, not the Security Council. The United States doesn't have the power to block it. So it's a very different situation. And we also need to wait and see exactly what the resolution says. If it is a resolution that backs the two-state solution and incorporates things along the lines of what President Abbas said this weekend in an interview on Israeli television about things like the refugee situation, then perhaps this is a different situation and J3 can take a different position. So we will be listening to all of you very carefully. We will be considering the exact language of the resolution, and we'll see exactly where we are probably within the month if they go ahead with it. In terms of what can the United States do to pressure Israel, one of the things that we think is most important, first of all, is to pressure both sides, and we think it's going to be important for the United States to play that role in a very fair way, to be an honest broker in this negotiation. The problems aren't all on one side. The problems are very evenly distributed across this conflict, and there's more than enough pressure that needs to be applied on both sides. And we're going to urge the President to be very, very much in the driver's seat, that the United States shouldn't just be inviting the parties to sit at a table and then serve tea and leave the room, but the United States needs to be active in putting forward its ideas and trying to help to actually bridge the gaps and make the parties come to an agreement. So we're going to be pushing for a very active role with real ideas on the table, with a high-level envoy, with a meaningful team, with a visit to the region. So a very, very different type of role for the President. So, Jillian, let me stop there and again see if Senator-elect Baldwin has joined us, and if she hasn't, perhaps we'll go to Jim Gerstein to begin the poll briefing. What do you think, Jillian?
I think that's a great idea.
So, Senator-elect Baldwin, are you with us just yet? So, not hearing her, what I'd like to do at this point is to turn the microphone over to Jim Gerstein, who is our national pollster for J3 and a partner and principal in GBA Strategies. Jim has been doing political consulting and polling in American politics for the better part of the last couple of decades, and he also has a deep wealth of knowledge and experience about Israeli politics, and this is about the fifth poll, I think, that Jim has done for J3 over the last 4 years, and it has provided us with a great wealth of information and a real sense of how the community has moved in the time that J3 has been in existence. So we'll turn to Jim now for about a 10-minute overview. I'll remind people that if you have a question to ask, please press 9, and we will take some questions after Jim's presentation. We'll have a few words from Tammy Baldwin. We'll talk a little bit more about J3 PAC and where we're headed in the coming year. So, Jim Gerstein, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this, and thank you for everyone on the call. A big congratulations really should go out to J3 for everything that you did during this election. I mean, not only did you win most of the races, nearly all of them, as Jeremy said, I think you elected some excellent people who, with all these J3 endorsees out there and the quality of the kind of people that you've gotten behind, I think that we can start to see a reshaping of the discussion in Washington. I think it's really important, and I can tell you that working on numerous campaigns over the years, that I can see in the campaigns the increased presence of J3 and the high regard for J3 and how seriously campaigns and candidates and their advisors are taking this organization. So I just want to start with a big congratulations to everybody and encouragement for continuing it and increasing it over time. What we did on election night was we conducted three surveys, a national survey, a statewide survey in Ohio, and a statewide survey in Florida. All, as Jeremy mentioned, all of the data is available on the J Street website. I really encourage you to pore through it. These were all the surveys were conducted with Jews who voted in the election. And that is what is the behind this analysis. I'm going to highlight about 10 major takeaways from the data, and I'm going to start with the dynamics around the vote, what drove the Jewish vote in 2012, and then and after that I'll move on to the Jewish kind of political beliefs and values about the role, the U.S. role in the Middle East and attitudes towards Israel. So my first big takeaway is that we all know this was an incredibly close election, but it's important to keep in mind that this was not a close election among Jewish voters. With all this talk that's been out there for the last few years of does Barack Obama have a problem with Jewish voters, the answer is his problem, he doesn't have a problem, his only problem with Jewish voters is that there's not more of them. And so I think the answer for everybody on this call is to go out and have more kids. Or depending on your generation, pressure your kids to have more kids. I'm sure that may already be in process. But I really, there is, Obama is very well liked, highly regarded, highly supported among American Jews. He received 70% of the vote nationally, 69% in Ohio, and 68% in Florida. He has a very high approval rating of 67%. And people think that the American Jews actually think, a majority of them think that the country is turning around and going in the right direction, which is a pretty big statement when you compare it to the United States electorate overall. The other dynamic in this election is that they really did not like Mitt Romney, and they don't like Republicans. Mitt Romney has an unfavorable rating of 62%. You're not going to make many inroads with a constituency or any kinds of voters with unfavorable ratings like that. I would also mention that Sherrod Brown received 71% of the vote in Ohio, which is a big accomplishment, and he was another J Street endorsee, which I think, again, lends further evidences to the benefit and importance of getting a J Street endorsement when you're running. And in his case, he was running against a Jewish candidate, and so I think the J Street endorsement was very important for him. My second big point is I would say that there was a bit of a drop in Obama's vote among American Jews this cycle. It reflected the drop that we saw overall in the country. As we know, he got 53% in kind of a historic election in 2008, and he dropped to 50% in this. I understand that Tammy Baldwin is calling in right now. I can take a break.
I am on the line, actually. I am on the line. Can you hear me?
We can. Welcome on to the call, Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin. This is Jeremy Benamy, president of J Street, and let me be the first from our world here to just say personally congratulations to you on behalf of all of our supporters.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, and thank you to all of your supporters who rallied to work on my campaign and to help support me. This was an incredible victory in the state of Wisconsin against a very well-known and well-financed and powerful opponent, and this was a victory for the people in many, many regards. But since I have the honor of spending a couple of minutes with you, I want to just let you know what a huge difference J Street members made in my campaign through a variety of different means, whether it was making contributions, organizing house parties to build awareness of my campaign and support, but also speaking out on my behalf when my opponent was attempting to distort my strong record on two-state solution and really trying to distort my record on Israel.
your membership spoke out, wrote letters, and even produced a video that we were able to use to push back, and it worked. And I am just so grateful and so excited about your record of success on Tuesday with all of your endorsed candidates. I really think you are, J Street is the future of pro-Israel in the United States, and I really admire and respect your leadership for getting involved politically. So I want to cut myself off then with that, but I'm so grateful to get a chance to thank you in person so soon after a really great night of celebration.
Well, Senator-elect, I guess I still have to include the elect part for a couple of months at least, but we are very, very proud to be part of your team. I know that you're one of the favorite candidates that we have in our roster out of 71 really terrific people. I know that you were the candidate who I think got the most support and the most money from our supporters, and we are pleased to have played whatever small role we could in supporting
it's
you.
It's not
and
small, I assure you. It was a very big role, and I'm just so so humbled and excited about the future.
Terrific, and we look forward to working with you back here in Washington as we have over the last few years while you've been a member of the House. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and we really look forward to working with you going forward.
Thank you.
All right, all the best. And that was really terrific of Senator-elect Baldwin to take a few minutes out of what I'm sure is a very busy schedule today and stop by with us and say a few words. I'm going to turn the phone back over to Jim Gerstein, who's going to continue with the poll briefing. I'll just remind people that if you do have a question for Jim or for any of us, please do just press 9, and we will call on questioners in a few minutes after Jim is done. Jim?
Okay. So where we left off was I was just mentioning that President Obama's vote in the country dropped about 3 points, and his vote with the Jewish with Jewish voters dropped 4 points. So basically, there was no disproportionate shift. Jews are like other voters; they're going through the same things in the country, and they are going through the same environment. We saw this with other constituencies across the board, including Catholics who dropped 4 points, and Protestants 3 points, and voters under 30 years old dropped 6 points. So it's really important to understand the context that this was a very close election, but not close with American Jews, and their support stayed, stayed at 70% and reflects, that any shift is reflective of the shift that was going on in the country overall. Also, in terms of fundraising, I know this was something else that was talked about a lot. There was no drop in the enthusiasm for President Obama in the area of fundraising. I mean, we obviously know that overall when you raise $1 billion for a campaign, but also within among American Jews. He got, in 2008, 21% of Jews said that they contributed money to his campaign, and 21% said they contributed in 2012 as well. So there was no drop-off in the enthusiasm and the support for President Obama among American Jews. The next big point I'd like to highlight is the issues that drove this election with American Jews. We asked people what were the top two issues that determined your vote. And the top issue, not surprisingly, was the economy. 53% said the economy. The next couple of issues were health care at 32%, Social Security and Medicare at 23%, and then the deficit and government spending at 20%. So, you know, the economy really is what drove the vote. Jews hold very progressive values when it comes to economic issues. They trusted President Obama on the economy much more than they trusted Mitt Romney, and they ended up voting on that issue. In terms of Israel has remained, we've seen this in the past, as a lower priority issue. That was the case again in this election. 10% of Jews said that they that Israel is one of their top two issues. That was tied for sixth on our list. The issue of Iran came in, and it was the absolute lowest cited issue, 2%. Said that Iran was one of the most important issues. So, yeah, just kind of following the news and the characterizations of Jewish voters, it's very different than how Jews actually vote, and I think it's very important to recognize and understand that. Israel is what I would call as a threshold issue. Jews, you know, with Jews, they have to, a candidate has to be seen as sufficiently supportive or good, of Israel. And then once you pass that threshold, which is actually a very easy threshold to pass, then Jewish voters move on to the other issues that are important to them. When asked who does a better job on Israel, Obama was ahead of Romney by 53-31% margin, so a very large 22% gap. 22-point gap, but again, it that wasn't the decisive issue. The decisive issue was the economy and health care and Social Security and Medicare. On Iran, incidentally, Obama has a 58-26 edge over Mitt Romney. The next, I'd like to turn to attitudes about the U.S. role in the Middle East. And I'd start off by just saying, first, American Jews hold very progressive views that truly reflect J Street's positions on these issues. 76% support the U.S. putting forth a peace plan that proposes borders and security arrangements. I mean, that's a huge number. It shows that J Street's views and positions are really where the vast majority of American Jews sit. We asked a detailed question about whether or not you would support a certain peace agreement. We laid out the details of that peace agreement, which was drawn from the Clinton parameters and from the negotiations that were reported between Abu Mazen and Prime Minister Olmert when he was in office. And on this detailed peace agreement, final status agreement, that had tough concessions for Israel, it turned out to be 72% supported this peace plan. We looked at a variety of other measures related to the peace process, and what we see is consistency over time. This is not a constituency that is undecided in its views toward the U.S. role or its views toward or its political beliefs and values. Since J Street started, we've seen about 70-75% support for the two-state solution. That's actually increased a little bit over time as J Street's been out there and as people have been observing the news of the world and events. And now we have about 80% support for a two-state solution. I would like to, and on the core question, really, of what should be the U.S. role, we have 69% say that they support an active U.S. role, even if it means publicly disagreeing with both Israelis and Palestinians. And so I just wanted to kind of underscore how important it is for Jews, or how much Jews support the idea of the U.S. really leading the way, bringing the parties together to resolve the Arab-Israeli conflict. And President Obama has the support in the Jewish community to do that, and with Jewish voters in particular. Just a quick comment on Iran. I know that's an important issue out in, facing the United States, facing the world. It is low on the priority list among voters, Jewish voters, but they think the U.S. should not have the U.S. should not put the Israeli-Palestinian conflict on the back burner while they try to resolve the issue with Iran. They want to see the U.S. government pursuing both of these things and addressing both of these things aggressively and at the same time. But there are mixed feelings as to what to do, and Jews generally, they want to give sanctions and diplomacy more time before setting red lines. That's the takeaway that we had in our survey by a 47-35% margin. Now, it's complicated because people are concerned about a nuclear threat. They don't, they take that seriously. But at the same time, there's no appetite for another U.S. military action in the Middle East. And so they're torn over this. But in the end, they want to see diplomacy and sanctions given more time. I'll just finish up by saying, it's very clear that in our data that efforts to politicize Israel and invoke Iran from the other side, they failed. People saw, we asked if people saw the attack ads in Florida, in Ohio, and people, there was a lot of people who saw them. There was a lot of money spent and put behind them. But these attack ads on President Obama, even though they saw them, it did not move them towards Mitt Romney. And it really is a failed strategy for getting votes. But I think the message I want to leave with everybody on the at this town hall is that everyone really needs to redouble their efforts to make sure that, well, that doesn't succeed as a strategy for scaring lawmakers. Because it's not, we know it's not working electorally, but we got to make sure it doesn't work with those who are in office and making decisions. So thank you very much for having me, and I'll be happy to take your questions.
Great. Thanks so much, Jim. And let me just remind people that you can press 9 in order to get into the queue to ask Jim a question. We'll probably be on the line here for another 15 or 20 minutes taking your questions. I also want to just pick up on Jim's point that it's so important for lawmakers to hear from us and to continue to see us visibly, not just around Election Day, but all throughout the year. And one of the biggest opportunities for that is our annual conference. And I know that many of the people on the line are people who have come to one of our 3 conferences in the past. We've just announced the dates of next year's conference, which will be September 28th through October 1st. It is absolutely important for us to get thousands of people here to Washington, D.C. Other organizations that deal with this issue, whether it's evangelical Christian groups, like the Christians United for Israel or Jewish groups like AIPAC are able to turn out thousands and thousands of folks who then are very, very impressive and persuasive with their lawmakers. And for our voices to be heard representing the majorities that Jim has found, it is critical for people to come to the conference. If you'd like information about the conference, please press 1. We will get back to folks with more information. You can find out more by pressing 1. So please do plan on joining us. Mark it down in your calendar, September 28th to October 1, 2013. So, Jillian, are we ready to take a few phone calls? A few questions?
Absolutely. So let's start with Daniel Stein in Essex Junction, Vermont. So, Daniel, I'm going to unmute you. I believe you're on the line.
First, my politics is that of MoveOn and J Street, so know where I'm coming from. The question is, were there any, and if so, how many Republicans among the 71 that you endorsed?
This cycle, we did not endorse any Republicans. We have in the past endorsed a couple of Republicans. Our standards are that we are, essentially a single issue PAC in the sense that our focus is what are the views of the candidates when it comes to the American role in resolving this conflict. And so we're very open to endorsing Republicans. We would love to be working on a nonpartisan and bipartisan basis on this issue, but sadly, there is a wing of the Republican Party, some of whose leadership we defeated in this election, but people who are simply moving so far to the right, either out of ideology or out of a political effort to try to win support from the evangelical community or the Jewish community, that they have taken the Republican Party into a place where it never was before. We have a number of allies from the Republican Party, from Senator Chuck Hagel and Secretaries of State, Secretaries of Defense for the Republicans, Brent Scowcroft, the former National Security Advisor. So this isn't a partisan issue. And sadly, there's just been nobody running under a Republican banner who's been willing to stand up and take these positions.
Great. Next, we have a question from Jerry Levy in Pompano Beach, Florida. So I'm just going to, Jerry, you should be live.
Hello.
And ask your question. Yes, hi.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to express my thanks to you, Jeremy, and to J Street, that we, the 70% of American Jews, have finally been able to make our voices heard on the national level. And finally, can let President Obama and those people in the Senate and the Congress know what our feelings are about a two-state solution. In the survey, one of the questions was about President Clinton being an emissary to the Middle East. Is that something that is on J Street's agenda? Can we urge President Obama to do that? Because I think President Clinton probably has the trust of both sides and a way to see whether people do.
So, Jerry, this is Jim. I'll answer first in regards to what the data says. We President Clinton is extraordinarily popular, okay? He has a 69% favorability rating in our survey, higher than anybody else, including President Obama, who was at 61%, and was the next closest. I think that the question that we asked in our survey is reflective of a big dynamic here, and that is with 84% of the people saying they would support the appointment of Bill Clinton to be the Special Middle East Peace Envoy. With that kind of support, which came from both Democrats and Republicans, exceeding the number of people who voted for President Obama, I think that says how important this issue is for people how much they want to see and how much they support the United States playing a leadership role. And, you know, with somebody of the stature of Bill Clinton, that would be strongly supported.
And I think that, you know, we're definitely, one of the things we're going to push for as J Street is that the president really has to have somebody on his team who represents a deep personal commitment on his part to this issue, because without the gravitas and the weight of true presidential investment, then I don't think that anything's going to happen. And certainly the appointment of an envoy of that level and stature would be a signal. I don't know whether or not the former president would be willing to do it. I also don't know how that relates to the Secretary of State's future plans either. And, you know, if she has other plans in mind for a future in politics, it probably means that it would be very difficult for him to take on a role like that. So, you know, I think there are a lot of factors that will go into it, but we'll certainly be pushing for the dedication of somebody of real stature to be brought in to try to help move this process along.
Great. So our next question is coming from Ina Fox in Summers, New York. So, Ina, if you want to go ahead.
My question was, thank you again for this fabulous discussion. My question was, what can we do specifically to get Obama to take the two-state solution put it on his agenda?
Well, I think the most important thing that we're going to be working to do is to get our membership to be as vocal and active in that delivering that message as possible. One of the key addresses is going to be Capitol Hill, because the president probably is far more interested and anxious to move ahead on this than some of the folks in his party and in the other party on Capitol Hill. And so we think that a very important part of the agenda for pressing him is also going to be pressing Congress. And so we'll be organizing. I don't know exactly where you are in New York, but if you are in an area where there is a J Street local, you know, I urge you to get involved in the work there, because we'll be organizing ourselves to be in, you know, to get into as many of the congressional members' offices, to be in touch with them, to be writing to the president, to be working on getting secondhand pressure from community leaders towards the White House. But we're going to have to hit on, let's say, all cylinders, both Congress, the White House, and outside sources as well, to make our voices heard and to get that message across. And we're very lucky that we also have a group of supporters who've been very, very helpful to the president. And I think they will have the ability to get that message in at the White House directly in ways that, you know, the rest of us need to organize in groups to get our voice heard, you know, as a mass of people in different ways. So hopefully that gives you a sense that our strategy is going to be very, very multifaceted.
Great. Our next question is coming from Ilya, and I'm going to butcher this last name, Devoronyunsky, I think, from Stamford, Connecticut. So, Ilya, if you're on the line.
I am, thank you. You actually got my name. Don't worry about it. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to quickly thank J Street as being one of the few organizations that clearly is striving not only for peace, but an amicable, logical process to achieve it. The question is, I've been a long-time defender, I feel, of Israeli attitudes here in America, mostly online on sites such as Reddit, other online discussion forums. I participated in Judea, and I've had the pleasure of visiting the J Street office. I've been a long-time believer that Israelis as a whole were seeking peace, and it was the administration that was pushing the country's policy towards extremism. That being said, I'm a little disheartened to have learned that some polls have come out that highlight that even the Israeli citizens themselves generally view a two-state solution as unfavorable and support institutional and social discrimination. According to one poll, almost 60% of Israeli citizens believe this. I understand that J-Street is an organization designed to change United States policy specifically. My question is, what is, if anything, is being done to help influence the Israeli attitudes towards pursuing a peaceful solution to the current state of affairs?
Well, I think it's really important for us to understand the changes that are happening in Israeli society, and I think one of the reasons that many of us who care very, very deeply about Israel and care about the nature of Israeli society and its future, one of the reasons that we're so worried about the ongoing occupation and the impact of it is that sometimes the occupation has an impact on the occupiers that is as significant in its own way as it is on the occupied. And I think that one of the unfortunate results of this ongoing conflict, of the ongoing occupation, is, and certainly one of the impacts of terror and violence and living in, under that threat as well over the course of decades. It may not have been so bad in the last couple of years, but certainly a lot of people grew up in an environment surrounded by that, and their only interactions with the Palestinian people during the course of a decade or more of intifada and violence was one of conflict and being sort of an enemy rather than a potential partner towards building a future. So I think it is very important to understand that reality, that things are changing in Israel, and that the society itself is losing a bit of hope. I would also turn to Jim Gerstein, who not only has done public opinion research here, but also has done a whole series of polls over there about attitudes that relate not simply to whether or not peace is possible, but to the underlying support that does still exist for a two-state solution. So, Jim, do you have anything you want to add about Israeli public opinion?
Sure. I did a survey there this summer, not for JSTREET, but for a different organization. And the big finding from that survey was that Israel split 50-50 down the middle on whether it is social issues, whether it is the issues of peace and security. It is a very divided and polarized country, and anyone who's been there recently feels that when they're on the way to their hotel and they see various billboards and they listen to the radio or they see anything on TV where it is a highly energized political discussion there, and it is so I think what gets lost with the current government there in the positions it takes is that they're doing this in a context where the country really is evenly divided, but they've managed to win some elections, and the center left in Israel has suffered a lot of internal political setbacks that I think have our data there also shows that the public opinion may be divided on the issues, but they don't see anybody giving voice. That 50% doesn't see anybody giving voice and strong leadership to the 50% on the center left, and we'll see how that plays out in the next few months.
Right, and the elections there are on January 22nd, so we're about 2.5 months away from Israeli elections, which I think will be an opportunity for Israelis to set a different course.
And there's one more data point that I'd like to refer to that builds off of something that Jeremy said. We did ask people in Israel if they felt that the occupation was corrupting Israel's democratic values. And even within Israel, about half the country believes that it is. And so I think it's important to really recognize the complexities that are going on over there. I know people here have been talking about what's J Street going to do in Israel. I think people in America outside of J Street have a role to play in terms of trying to help give voice here in America to those in Israel who are seeking peace and really represent about half the country right now.
So I just want to take this opportunity. I think one of the great things that happens at our conference every year is that we hear from a wide spectrum of Israelis, and we bring over folks who are involved in the political system there. We hear from and people involved in the nonprofit world, human rights groups, peace groups, dialogue groups. It's a fascinating conference, and if you'd like to find out more about our 2013 conference, please do press 1, and you can get more information, and we'll certainly be able to provide you, answer any questions that you might have. The dates of the conference are September 28 to October 1 next year. If you do have a question for Jim or for me, press 9. For information on the conference, press 1. And Jillian, do we have a couple more questions?
We do indeed. So our next one is coming from Stanley Rosen in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So Stanley, go ahead. You want to ask your question?
Will we ask it again?
Yes.
That would be terrific.
Will we ask it again?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't understand. Re-ask it?
Yes, if you can re-ask your question, that would be great.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah, the question was, the first comment was, I wanted to commend our Jewish Federation in Albuquerque, a state federation, for having the director of J Street participate in a forum which presented many alternate points of view and very well presented the J Street position. The question, to go to the question, is what plans does J Street have to encourage Jewish federations throughout the country to expand this and have forums throughout the country permitting alternate points of view to be presented? Because our point of view and what I've heard tonight is very persuasive. But in a lot of cases, they're not being put on the program, and this is unfortunate for an intelligent discussion of the problem.
Well, thank you for that question / statement. I completely agree with the underlying point, which is that at times the Jewish community and its institutions, the established institutions of the community, don't provide the opportunity for an open and free exchange of ideas and debate on these issues. And it's one of the core missions of J Street. I know there's been a lot of questions tonight about what we can do to change what happens in Israel, and I think, you know, we've got a lot of work to do here at home, and one of the things we have to do is change the way our Jewish community deals with this issue, and there isn't only one opinion in our community, and there isn't only one right way to look at this. Certainly, we have our opinions, but we don't deny that other people have theirs, and they have a legitimate right to it. We may not think that they're correct. We may think we have the correct ones, but the right way to go about that is to have an open debate and discussion. I'm very, very grateful to the Federation in New Mexico. The director there has been extraordinarily open to alternative voices, but I know there's plenty of folks on the phone who I'm sure would have stories that could fill the rest of the evening about federations and other institutions that are not so open and where that is not permitted. And we've got organizations, J Street organizations, in 50 communities around the country. Part of the agenda in each of those communities is to work to open up the debate and the discussion in their local community with their synagogues, with their JCCs, with their federations. That's one of the main things that we work on, and we do it on college campuses too, to ensure that Hillels are very open places where students can hear a diverse set of views. So I agree wholeheartedly. It's part of what we do in our grassroots organizing. I urge everybody on this call to not only come to the conference, but also to get involved in our work in your local community, and feel free to email us to learn more about how you can get involved. Jillian, anything to add to that? Jillian has been one of the leaders of our program out in the Midwest and organizing folks at the local and regional level in the center of the country. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
Just that a lot of organizing with federations is similar to your organizing with members of Congress. You know, it takes time to build up person by person, conversation by conversation, and just really mapping out your community and organizing to figure out who are the key people that influence these communities, these centers of our community. And that varies in every single city and Jewish community throughout the country. And so it's just so important having people like you on the ground, to be able to help staff and national leaders to get this information out there and identify people who can help us and move our agenda forward. So if you're interested in doing that, please do contact our staff, and you can do that at info@jstreet.org, and we'd be happy to answer those questions. So moving on, our next question is going to come from Constance Goldstein in Sarasota, Florida. So Constance, are you there?
Yes, I am. In the last few weeks before the election, I received several large, expensive, four-color postcards from Jews who used to be for Obama and were now Republicans for Romney, at telling me why I should never vote for Obama again. And I'd like to know who paid for those mailings.
Well, the odds are that it was the Republican Jewish Coalition. They were the most active, and they had a campaign called Buyer's Remorse that sounds a lot like those mailers. They did TV ads, they did billboards, they did mailings. We estimate that they spent possibly north of $10 million, maybe $15 million on this overall campaign. We know for sure of about $6.5 or $7 million just worth of TV ads. Their donors include people like Sheldon Adelson, who gave several million dollars directly to the Republican Jewish Coalition, but also funded a number of candidates directly. As I understand it, I think it was in the Washington Post this morning, that Sheldon Adelson supported eight candidates at a very significant level, and I believe all eight lost. So it's a good thing he owns the casino, because I wouldn't want to be him if he was going in to actually bet. We won 70 out of 71 of the races that we were involved in. He lost all eight of the races that he was involved in. I think it goes to the point that Jim was making. I don't know if you want to add anything, Jim, but, that kind of campaign doesn't work. And, Jim, do you want to reiterate a couple of the points on that?
Sure. We specifically asked people in our poll whether or not they saw any television advertisements or received any mail that criticized President Obama for his positions or actions toward Israel. We know millions and millions of dollars were spent on this. An enormous effort was made by an organized Republican effort, and the results of our poll were very telling. 45% did report seeing an ad or receiving some mail.
And that's a very good percentage, right?
That is a very high percentage. Right. That is a lot of penetration, and it's reflective of the kind of money that they spent. Now, the problem for the other side on this, the problem for the people who were funding this and spending it, was that it did not have an impact. We asked people, among those who received something or saw an ad, did that make them, and that ad which was criticizing President Obama, did that make them more likely to support Mitt Romney? Did it make them more likely to support Barack Obama, or did it have no difference? So among those 45% who got it, 40% said it made no difference. 38% said it actually made them more likely to support President Obama. And only 23 said for Romney. It made them more likely to support Romney. Now, you could say, well, how in the world would somebody get something and then say it made them more likely to support Barack Obama? And the answer is it's a very partisan answer. It's a mixture of two things. One is Democrats who get this, and most Jews are Democrats, look at it and have a similar reaction to what you had. And they didn't like it, and it did turn them off. And they're going to report when asked that it made them more likely to support President Obama. Those who said that they was more likely to support Mitt Romney were, they were mostly Republicans. We looked at those who were kind of, those who said they waver in the election, who were voting for President Obama but considered Romney at another point in time, they were not influenced by this campaign. So while I think it's painful for us to see these things and receive them, we can take solace in the fact that it's not working, and if they continue this strategy, they're going to continue to have problems.
And continue to waste a lot of money.
I think that it requires a response from from those of us who don't support the positions that were taken in those attacks, and that if an attack goes unanswered, over time it could have an impact, and we need to really be active and responsive and not kind of unilaterally disarm just because they aren't working right now, and because President Obama continues to do so strong and Democrats do so strong with this constituency.
And Julian, I understand we have time for two more questions.
Yes. I want to tell you, we have such an overwhelming amount of people who wanted to ask questions, and that's great. So if people want to stay on the line when we're done with this call, you can actually leave a voicemail for us, and we will be able to answer your question and follow up with you directly. So if you have a question and you don't get called on, please do stay on the line. Leave us a voicemail, and we will be happy to get back to you and answer that question. So next we are going to go to Ron Vogel in New York, New York. So Ron, go ahead. You're live if you want to ask your question again.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So my question is, I'm wondering whether other Jewish organizations have done polling on Jewish opinion on the same sort of issues. And I'm wondering, and if so, are their results similar, or are the J Street's polling showing different results?
We have seen some polls that have been done by a variety of organizations, and in the big picture, we see a lot of consistency. There are some organizations out there that I think don't necessarily ask things in an honest way that really provides accurate data, and that's where we see some divergence. But most organizations are interested in getting truthful answers and an accurate picture, and when we see those kinds of surveys, they're very similar to what we're finding. The first thing that jumps to mind is that the American Jewish Committee did a survey, a national survey in October, which showed the similar assessments of the importance of Israel as an issue, similar assessments on where the vote was going to be. There is an organization called the Public Religion Research Institute, PRRI, that did a serious study recently in the spring, and it showed a lot of similar findings on these kinds of issues. They spent more time on the domestic front, in which we saw very progressive attitudes expressed on things like social issues, be it the issue of abortion, the issue of taxes and economic fairness, and all of those things really, I think, supplemented the findings that we had as to, because we see what they voted on here, and some of those other surveys show just how progressive they are on the domestic front, because our stuff focused a lot on the national security and foreign policy front. So I think we should feel very good about the consistency that we see across different organizations that are approaching this in an honest and professional manner.
Great.
So, Jillian, I think it's about 9:30, and I don't know that we actually have time for a last question. Should we just at this point wrap up?
Yes, that would be great.
Terrific. So let me just say thank you again to Jim Gerstein. I want to thank Senator-elect Tammy Baldwin. Thank all of you for dialing. Please do stay on the line if you do have a question that you would like us to answer that you didn't have time to ask. You can leave a voicemail. Please press 1 to get more information about the conference. Email us at info@jstreet.org if you want to leave a comment or a question by email. And we look forward to seeing you at the conference next year and at many events along the road. There's many of you on the line who I know and look forward to seeing in the coming months as I am around the country. And I thank you for everything that you all did to make this spectacular set of victories possible on Tuesday night, and now it is down to the hard work of actually putting that political capital to work in support of our mission, which is to achieve a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and I appreciate all of your help in trying to achieve that goal. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.